Our gospel lesson today is from Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. And Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the elders and deacons are reading a great book by Joan Gray right now called Sailboat Church. I'm encouraging everyone to read it because I'll be using it in sermons for a few weeks, and it's a great book. Sailboat Church has a simple premise. We are like boats as we follow Jesus Christ. But we have a choice about which kind of boat. We can be rowboats trying to do life on our own, or we can be sailboats and allow the Holy Spirit to fill our sails and lead us wherever we need to go. We can be filled with the power of God, which is so much more power than we have on our own. The sailboat sounds better, right? But much of the time we do ministry as rowboats, paying a lot of attention to the number of people we have, the amount of money, the resources we have, and much of the time we get bogged down thinking that we just don't have enough of anything. Constantly rowing can bring burnout and exhaustion. But if we're willing, there's a different way to follow Christ, a different way to do ministry as a church. We can let go of our agenda, our way, and our wishes, and allow the Spirit to show us God's agenda, God's way, God's will. Doing ministry that way brings refreshment, joy, energy, and excitement, which sounds wonderful, right? But how do we move from rowing to sailing? Gray says we have to partner with God. We prioritize our relationship with Jesus above everyone and everything else, which isn't easy, right? Because when tough times come, we tend to rely upon ourselves. Sailing means letting go and letting God take control in the boat. It means relying on the Holy Spirit for everything we need. In her book, Gray turns to John chapter 15. That's the chapter about abiding in Christ, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And in verse 5, he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Think about that. We have to be connected, abiding, partnering with Jesus to do anything at all worthwhile, anything meaningful, anything life-giving. So how do we connect? Well, we have to make some choices about where we're going to get our advice, our directions, and our plans. We need to turn to God in scripture, in worship, in community, but most of all, we need to pray. This is what Jesus is talking about when he tells us to ask, seek, and knock. He has just taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, and then he urges them to reach out in prayer for everything, believing that God wants to give us good things, believing that God will give us the Holy Spirit, which is exactly what we need to sail. Just before our passage today, there's a strange parable in Luke 11. Jesus said, "Suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." Now, in ancient Near Eastern cultures, hospitality was next to godliness. If someone arrived at your home, it was expected that you would feed them or at least give them bread, regardless of the hour. So Jesus is basically saying we need to approach God like we would approach a friend in the night. Think about someone you call on in the middle of the night. God is even more ready to help than that friend or family member. Let that soak in for a minute. God is ready to help because all too often we call upon people before or more than we call upon God. Jesus also tells us how to talk to God. We need to be persistent. We need to keep praying, never give up, ask, seek, knock. Luke emphasizes this again in chapter 18 when Jesus tells the parable of the widow and the judge who finally grants her justice because she won't quit bothering him. She's relentless. So he responds to her persistence just like God responds to ours. The question is, are we persistent in prayer? It's not easy, is it? Don't we all have some prayers we just keep praying literally for years and they appear to be unanswered? Jesus is saying, keep on praying, be persistent. Why? Because when we ask, we receive, we find, the door is opened. God responds to persistence. But we don't always believe that, do we? We're sometimes quick to give up on our prayers, thinking God isn't listening, God doesn't care, God has better things to do, none of which is true. Sometimes we give up because we think we'll just handle it alone, you know, rowing our own boat across the water. But Jesus has this different way to live and different way to pray. He was constantly praying, being filled with God's Spirit. He says right here to his disciples that God wants to give us that Holy Spirit. God wants us to sail, to be filled with the power of God, to rely more on God than ourselves. And we can do that if we follow Jesus as our example. He prayed before every major event or decision in his life. We see him going away to pray, praying in front of the crowds, praying with his disciples, praying before ministry, praying before feeding the 5,000 or his disciples at the Last Supper. He prayed when he knew he was going to the cross, and he even prayed from the cross. Luke especially emphasizes the prayers of Jesus. Why? Because we need to be people of prayer. So whatever is impeding our prayer life, we need to ask God for help with it. Because we're called to pray at all times, in all places, with all words or no words at all. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 reminds us to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. Are you someone who's hesitant to pray out loud? God has help for that too. Paul reminds us in Romans 8 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes. The Spirit prays for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever thought about that? That when you do not have the words to pray, you can call upon the Holy Spirit to pray for you? I find comfort in that, because there are times we don't have the words, right? I also find great comfort in the fact that we can say anything to God. Just look at the book of Psalms. In there, we discover the power of honesty before God. In prayer, praise, lament, confession, worship, people say absolutely everything on their hearts and minds in the Psalms, and so should we. It doesn't matter if we're praying scripture, the Lord's Prayer, or we're simply saying, hey, God, help me. One of the most powerful prayers in the Bible is, I believe, help my unbelief. In Matthew 9, Jesus is asked by a father to cure his son, and Jesus says, all things can be done for one who believes. And the dad cries out, I believe, help my unbelief. Presbyterian pastor Frederick Buechner once said, if you have never known the power of God's love, maybe it's because you've never asked to know it and expected the answer. Go to God the way the father of the sick boy did and ask. If this little voice inside you says, but I don't believe, don't worry too much. I believe, help my unbelief, is sometimes the best any of us can do, really. And thank God it is enough. Presbyterian author Anne Lamott says that she has two basic prayers, thank you, thank you, thank you, and help me, help me, help me. We can even use breath prayers like I taught the kids, or arrow prayers like come, Lord Jesus. Some prayers are silent or meditative. Others are spoken or sung or shouted out loud. Praying is really like breathing. Everyone can do it. And most people do pray. You know the term, no atheists in foxholes? Almost everyone prays to God in times of great need. What if we all know how to pray the way we know how to breathe? I think there's a lot of truth in that. What if prayer is just as important as breathing? But with breathing, aren't there ways to make it even better? Ways to make it more disciplined and beneficial to us? Think of people who do yoga or learn how to breathe deeply, or singers or public speakers who learn how to breathe from the diaphragm because taking deep breaths helps us sing well and speak clearly. Prayer comes naturally, but we can practice it to make it even more powerful. We need to pray and pray and pray so that we can really experience God's goodness in our lives. We need to pray and pray and pray so we can receive that gift of the Holy Spirit to fill our sails and take us where we want to go. Which brings us to something really important about prayer. Sometimes we don't ask for enough. Sometimes we sell God short. It's just like Jesus says in his parable today, if we know how to give good gifts, imagine what God can give to us. In my favorite devotional, Streams in the Desert, the July 27th entry says this, God's ability to perform is far beyond our prayers, even our greatest prayers. I've recently been thinking of some of the requests I have made innumerable times in my prayers, and what have I requested? I have asked for a cupful while God owns the entire ocean. I have asked for one ray of light and God holds the sun. Friends, God's ability to give is so far beyond our ability to ask. Are you asking for a cup when God can give you the ocean? Are you asking for a ray of light when God can give you sunshine? What if this is another reason Jesus offered the parable and the saying after teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer? What if he wants us to be bold and brave in our prayers? What if that's why Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, God will respond? Because God wants to give us far more than we could ever imagine. The Lord's Prayer itself is bold. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give us everything we need, God. Think about that. Forgive us all our sins as we forgive others. That's bold. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. That's expecting a lot, isn't it? How bold are we in our prayers? Are we asking God for everything we need? For everything that God can give? If not, why don't we start today? Friends, our good news of the gospel is very simple. We are called to pray because God responds. Ask and we will be answered. Seek and we will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And that gift of prayer will be the very thing we need to set sail. And for this, all God's people can say together, Amen.